brothers and sisters. So that day began as if it was his worst nightmare. And yet, when he reflected on that day later, he realized it had ended as an honor that he would never forget. For as Jesus struggled with his cross towards Golgotha, the soldiers commanded a man from the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, to carry that cross behind Jesus. And the only people that carried crosses were really those who were going to be hung on them. So Simon's respect ratings from the public plummeted as they watched him carry a cross to the place of crucifixion. And he carried it for a man who was barely alive, someone who had been rejected by the people's leaders. And Simon would have experienced the same taunts, had the same rotten tomatoes and eggs and things thrown at him as Jesus had. And Simon had no option. He'd been forced into it. It was his most degrading and humiliating moment as he, like Jesus, unjustly faced the scorn of the crowds. To him, it must have been his worst day in life. But after the resurrection of Jesus, Simon's perspective must have changed. He became a believer, and he realized that that day which he'd regarded as the worst in his life, when he carried the cross for the Son of God, he actually realized that he had actually carried that cross for the one who was his Savior and King of the world. And how honored he must have felt that he, of all people, have been chosen for such a task. So, the lesson for us is this, isn't it? That we, like Simon, all have our bad days in life. The days when things go wrong and don't work out as we expect them to. When we might be afflicted or suffer for some reason. But perhaps, like Simon, at some future stage, we could reflect on those days in our life which we regarded as our worst and realize that on those days the Lord was closest to us, and there in those bad days of ours they might actually have been some of our best days, when we could be actively working in our lives for the Lord. We read in Mark that Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and his son Rufus is mentioned in Romans 16. And in Acts 13, they're mentioned as members of the ecclesia in Acts 13. So we can all take lessons from this man, and we can realize that we have to ask the question, how do we bear the cross for Jesus? Do we do it like Simon, or do we do it as a sort of pleasure in our lives to bear these things for the Lord Jesus? Now, that day, Pontius Pilate had made a decision. He was going to condemn the Lord Jesus to death. And he made sure that he had the last say, because when Jesus was crucified, he put a title on his cross which said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And of course, the chief priests didn't like this one bit. They protested to Pilate. They said, "Don't put that, put that he claimed to be King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." But that sign, which was written by Pilate, and no doubt inspired by God, was written in languages which everyone could understand. It was written in Aramaic, the language of religion. It was written in Latin, the language of law and order. It was written in Greek, the universal language of culture. It was written for you and for me, because that sign is there for us. And there's no mistaking it. This isn't just a man who said he was King of the Jews. This is the man who is the King of the Jews. And that sign says it all. We've no choice but to read it in our own language, and no excuse for not understanding. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Let's read it, and let's believe it. Now, when Jesus was crucified there on that hill outside Jerusalem, he didn't even have the dignity of being crucified by himself on his own merits as the King of the Jews. He was surrounded by thieves. And anyone looking on could have thought that just because the two on either side of Jesus were thieves, then the one in the middle must be a thief also. And that crowd would have bunched him in with the same sort of criminals and formed the same opinion of Jesus as they did of the thieves. But if you look closely, as the centurion did, you would see not just another man on a cross, but you'd see Jesus for who he really was. And just as that centurion said, "Surely this man was the Son of God," we too must say the same thing. And let's remember that just as we look at certain people and put them into boxes depending on the circumstances in which we find them, so we get put into similar boxes by other people when they see the surroundings we are in. They will judge us for what they think we are. But let's remember, like Jesus, no matter where we are or what we're doing, let's not let our guard down. Let's never do that. Even though others may misjudge us, let's make sure that when people watch us closely, they will know that we are a son or daughter of the living God. So as we're focusing in on that day when Jesus died, we ask the question, where did Jesus get his strength from? Well, there's no doubt he got a certain amount of strength from reading the scriptures and knowing the scriptures. That's why he could recite Psalm 22. That's why he could see that all these words written so long ago were applying to him there at that moment. So Jesus, so often in his life, relied on the scriptures. He knew them off by heart, it seems. And so whatever circumstances he found himself in, he could always find that quotation from the scriptures which was able to strengthen him. And that's what he did there on that cross. He brought to mind these scriptures, and he recited the psalm. And when he said, "It is finished," in that final shout, surely that's the last verse of Psalm 22, a cry of triumph. It was all done, it was finished, the battle was now won when Jesus died on that cross. So there's a lesson for us here, isn't there? Jesus, in all circumstances in his life, had the scriptures at his fingertips. He could get that quotation when he so much needed it, relying on the words written by God to help him in his life. And so can we. We need to be able to rely on the scriptures to be able to encourage us in all our circumstances in life. But of course, this also implies that we need to know the scriptures in the first place. We find it difficult sometimes to be able to take a Bible with us everywhere we go and turn up the passage and fiddle through the pages until we find what we want. But if we have the words in our mind, it's so much easier. And we can only get the words in our mind by reading the word continually. Reading it every day, for example. It's so important to read the readings, those portions of scripture, on a daily basis, for we remember those words, and they'll be there when we still need them. But there were also other ways in which Jesus was strengthened that day. He was strengthened by those who came to visit him. You see, we're told in John 19 and verse 25 that there by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. There was Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and there was Mary Magdalene. So John identifies four women besides himself who were at the foot of the cross. And you would have thought that such places of horror and torture would be places which those of sensitive minds would not wish to visit. Yet these women, they were there because they knew that Jesus might need them. We see the mother of Jesus being there, perhaps being related to him. She can understand. And it also turns out that Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and his mother's sister were also there. Another two, but they're part of the family as well. The only one that was a real outsider, who had no relation to Jesus, was Mary Magdalene. And she was there. Let's remember that those who came to the foot of the cross of Jesus, they were being marked and identified by those who were the enemies of Jesus, perhaps for similar treatment in the future. So these women risked their lives to be there, that they knew Jesus needed them, and so that outweighed everything else. Now, there's a lesson too for us here, isn't there? You know, we can sometimes shy away from things. We can neglect those occasions when we need to help our brothers and our sisters. And we can let others down by being afraid or by neglecting other things. Let's remember these women who gave us such a faithful example. So we see that others, people who were in the background, are now coming to the foreground. Also, we know Peter must have been there. At least he was looking from afar off, because he describes himself in 1 Peter 5 verse 1 as an eyewitness of the sufferings of Jesus. So we've John, we've Peter, and we've the four women there where Jesus needed them. That's Peter not being close to the cross. So the lesson for us is to strengthen others in their hour of need. But there was yet one more way in which Jesus was strengthened that day. Because the two thieves who were crucified with him initially that day started to ask him to take them down from the cross. If you're the Son of God, save us from this situation, they were saying. But as one of those thieves saw the events that happened, he realized this man next to him on that cross was somebody who was different. And he began to realize that, yes, Jesus was and is the Son of Almighty God. And so the great comfort is that that man became converted in Jesus' final hours. Remember me when you come in your kingdom, he said, implying that he understood the full gospel message. And Jesus said to him, yes, you'll be with me in paradise. So Jesus was strengthened by one more taking on the name of the Lord Jesus. But what's the lesson for us here? When that man, the thief on the cross, became a believer in Jesus, did his pain end? Did his suffering cease? And the answer is no. You see, reflected in those thieves on the cross is God's answer to suffering in this world. Like the thief who was on the wrong side of Jesus, he continued to suffer and died in his sins. But this thief, who became converted, now had a hope. Even though his pain did not end and his suffering did not cease, he still suffered. But he now had a hope for the future, and he could look forward to a time when there would be no more pain. So for you and me, we might sometimes say when we're in times of suffering and problems, why is this happening to me? Why doesn't God stop this? Surely I'm a believer of his, and I believe in Jesus. Why doesn't God stop our suffering? And the answer is, he doesn't, because we now have a hope which will enable us to bear that suffering and to look forward with hope to the future. And we might think that it's strange that this man is promised a place in God's kingdom when he wasn't baptized. Now, we don't know whether he was or not. Likely he wasn't baptized in water. But what is baptism? Baptism is dying with Jesus. He was the only person who really ever lived who had a literal baptism. He died with Jesus on that cross and will be raised to life when Jesus comes. So those people there strengthened Jesus in his hour of need. One man that day thought he'd got off scot-free. That man was Barabbas, a man who we're told was a thief, a murderer, a robber, and he was guilty of rebellion and insurrection. Now, I wonder if Barabbas that day thought that he couldn't believe what was happening to him. He couldn't realize, he couldn't believe he'd got off and he was now a free man. And I wonder if his curiosity got the better of him and he came to where Jesus was being crucified to wonder why this man was giving his life. Now, it's a hypothetical question. It doesn't matter whether he did or he didn't. But the point I'm making is this, that if, it's a big if Barabbas had been there, then he could have stood in the front of the cross of Jesus and said, that man hangs where I ought to be. He's actually done nothing to deserve what's happening to him. In fact, he's paying the penalty for my sins. And he's doing it willingly. Because of him, I live. And we can all stand in Barabbas' shoes and say exactly the same thing. And then when it was all over, and the Lord Jesus hung lifeless on the cross, out from the shadows came yet one more person with his friend, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea is described in Matthew as a disciple. In Mark 15, he's described as a respected member of the council who was looking for the kingdom of God. In Luke 23, he's described as a good and righteous man. John 19, he's described as a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was in a privileged position, a member of the Sanhedrin, a member of the council, a position of respect and honor. But he was in the same camp as those who were plotting the downfall of Jesus. What was he doing there? Why didn't he do something about it? Why did he not come out and declare his true allegiance? And the answer is, God had put in place the right man with the right equipment at the right time. So here he was. He had the tomb. He had the authority to go into Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. Not every Tom, Dick and Harry in the streets could do that. He had to be somebody in a position of honour. He stood against the authorities and he was no longer a secret disciple of Jesus. So, Joseph of Arimathea came out of the shadows. We too sometimes might think that we're in a strange position. Perhaps we might even be amongst the enemies of Jesus in this world today. And yet, sometimes God has put us in those strange positions so that when our services are required, then we'll be there. That's what happened to Joseph, a man who'd been in the wrong position as far as we could see, but a man who'd been in the right position from God's point of view. And once, of course, he declared his allegiance and buried Jesus, his days on the Sanhedrin would be numbered. And he would no longer be a member of that council. He was giving up everything for Jesus. So, where we reflect on the day when Jesus died, when Jesus was arrested, tried, and taken to be crucified, those who had openly been his disciples, the 12, had fled and were nowhere to be seen. They forsook him and fled. But God raised up others in their place to do the job the disciples could not do at that time. So Simon of Cyrene carried the cross behind Jesus. He gave the Lord physical strength on the way to the crucifixion. One of the criminals crucified with Jesus gave him hope, telling Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. The women at the cross supported him. The centurion who supervised the crucifixion declared, "Surely this was a righteous man." And Joseph of Arimathea stood against the most powerful and influential men of his time in support of Jesus and associated himself with him by giving Jesus a proper burial place. None of these people would have been picked as disciples faithful to Jesus 2 days previously. But the death of Jesus brought out the best in them and brought them together. And as we now are about to share the bread and the wine, that's what happened to us. The death of Jesus and his resurrection have brought out the best in us and brought us together.